Well, good morning and happy new year to you all.
Happy new year.
Sounds like there are a few of you that are awake. Not many, but a few. It's great to gather here this morning at the start of a new year and to join as we worship the risen God together. My name is Luke Radford. I'm one of the deacons here in the church. The minister, Richard, and his wife Fiona are away getting their winter sun break in Dubai, so we'll remember them in our prayers later. If you're a visitor here this morning, then it's great to have you with us, and we hope you feel particularly welcome with us this morning. And please do stay and chat with us afterwards and get to know us a little bit more. As we start, there are a few notices, just to remind you of a few things that are going on. If you've not already picked up a term card for the next few months with all the details of the services that are going on, there are copies on the table just by the door as you came in. If you've come and driven this morning and parked, and a reminder if you do park in future weeks and block somebody in, there are these little cards for you to put your name and a phone number so that if you're blocking somebody in who needs to leave, they can find you. It'd be helpful if you could do that. If the credit card bill's not yet landed on the doormat and you're dreading that moment, or perhaps you'll be speaking to friends and to family who are in that position of realising that the month is lasting longer than the money, then there is another instance of the CAP money course that's running. And Dave, who's going to stand up and give a big wave, make sure he's awake, will be more than happy to talk to you about that. But an excellent way that we as a church can help those who are trying to make the most of the resources that they've got. And then I'm going to ask Nikki to come and talk to us about something else that's going on in the new year.
Good morning. Just a reminder about the Disciples Way course that hopefully everybody's now heard about. If you haven't, there are invitations out there on the welcome area, so do pick one up on your way out. It's a course we're running at MBC effectively during our spring term, and it will be kicking off next week with a screening of a film called The Way here next Sunday afternoon. So if you can possibly make that, that would be great, because it will just help to set the context of the course a little bit. If you really can't make it, there may be other opportunities to watch the film, but it would probably just help it to be a bit more meaningful for you. Thank you.
Thank you. And just to say with that, there are slightly different coloured invitations. So that one's a kind of weird blue colour. That one's kind of a weird green colour. They have blue and green. That one's in the evening, 7:45. That one's in the afternoon at 1:30, both on Monday. So a chance for those of you that want to come during the day as well as in the evening. We're going to stand together and sing that lively carol. Don't get often a chance to sing the carols, do we? So come and join the celebration, a reminder of what our lives are about and the hope that we have in God. But let's stand together and sing. Receive our offering. We'll just pray for that. Father God, we thank you for all the gifts that you give us, and most particularly at this time of year, we remember the gift of Jesus, and we thank you for him. But just as the wise men and the shepherds journeyed and presented their gifts to him, say, we have placed an offering of the things that you have given to us back into this bag and through the bank account transfers. Lord, we ask that you would take these gifts and use them to glorify your name here in Newbury and further afield. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have given to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Please do take a seat. They say that a year can be a long time, and perhaps for some of you it does feel like it's been a long time. But I was quite surprised, maybe that's not the quite word, but sort of struck when Richard told me that he was going to be away on the 1st of January, to look back and to think about this time a year ago and how different some of the things in NBC were. Not only did we not, as a church, have a minister, but this Sunday was the 3rd of January last year, was the first of our new format of services. Has it really been a year since we went from having those two services on a Sunday down to just one? And incredible how God has worked and changed through the course of the year. And I know personally we've got a huge amount to be thankful for, and collectively as a church we have as well. But let's see how much you can guess as to how the numbers have been through this year. We'll start you with a number, and a starting number of 10. If you add a 2, a 1 and a 7, you don't get to 10. You do get to 10, don't you?
No.
Yes. 2, 1 and 7 makes 10, 2017. Samuel, it's time to go back to school to do your maths. So the question is, the number of people that have led services through 2016, is it higher or lower than 10?
Higher.
Lower. Ooh. 19 different people have stood here and led a service. And we've had a selection of preachers. How many books of the Bible have they taken the message that they've spoken? Is it higher or lower? Go back. The 19. Higher or lower?
Lower.
Ooh, we're not sure. Who thinks higher? Hands in the air for higher. Ooh, lower. It was 11. 11 different books of the Bible have been used in our series. They were read by how many different people? Is it higher or lower than 11?
Higher.
You think higher? 14, only just. But 14 different people have read on a Sunday morning for us. A nice, easy one. Over how many weeks has it happened? Higher or lower than 14?
Higher.
Only Benjamin's confident on that one. I'm a bit worried about the rest of you. It was higher. It was 52. Remarkably, last year did have 52 Sundays in it. So there's that. But I want to say thank you to everybody who has taken part in some way, not just on a Sunday morning, taking part in the services, to the musicians, some of whom are here this morning. The organist has vanished. To David and to Mike, who played the organ, to the guys on the sound team. Making Sunday mornings happen like this isn't just something that we turn up and wake up at 9 o'clock and go, right, let's get church ready. There's lots that goes on, lots behind the scenes. There's lots that happens with Creche and with Chatterbox and Ignite. But most importantly, with all of you as well. It's good that you come and that we don't just talk to ourselves. So sometimes the front rows do feel a little bit like that. But thank you to everybody who's taken part. We're looking forward to what 2017 is going to bring. Lots of opportunities to get involved. Coming to church isn't just about sitting there and warming the chairs. It's about being together as a family and all getting stuck in and doing different things. But I want to pray for some of those people that have been involved. Give thanks to God for them and some of the other things as well. Carl's asked that we pray for him and his family this week. Do your granddad's funeral on Wednesday? 10 o'clock on Wednesday morning. So we'll pray for Carl and your family as you remember the life of your grandfather. Pray for Richard and Fiona, as you said, they're on holiday in Dubai with one of their sons at the moment. And also, I'm sure most of you will have seen the news this morning of the attack that happened overnight in Istanbul. The world is full of difficult and troubling situations, isn't it? So it's right that we pray, and then we'll pause and let you offer your own prayers. Lord God, we come together this morning and we acknowledge that we have no right to come before your throne and to talk to you, yet you have chosen to call us your children. And you are our Father, and we can have that personal relationship with you. Lord, we pray that in amongst all the busyness of Christmas and the New Year celebrations, as we just take some time this morning, that you would meet with us and that we would have an understanding of what it is that you're saying. Lord, I want to thank you that as a church family, we're not just individuals who turn up and do our own thing, but you have brought us together to glorify your name here in this town. Lord, I thank you for each one who's given of their time over the last year to help Sunday mornings happen and help us to worship you. From those that have been down early to make sure that the heating is on and the church is open. To those that take part in the services and involved in the children's and youth groups. To the tea and the coffee that's served at the end and then locking the church and making sure that it's all secure. Father God, so many people give of their time and we thank you for them. We pray, Lord, that as we go through this coming year, you will be with us as we learn to serve you in new and different ways. Father, we thank you that as a church family, we can pray for and lift each other up. We do thank you for Carl and for his enthusiasm and for his witness to you. But we pray particularly for this week on Wednesday at 10 o'clock as he joins with his family in remembering and celebrating the life of his granddad. Lord, be with them. Give them comfort and strength. Lord, for others also who have experienced the death of loved ones over the last few weeks or who are remembering those who weren't there this Christmas who would have been in the past. Be a God of comfort. Speak into those situations. Wrap your arms of love around them in a way that feels very real. Father, we pray again for Richard and Fiona. We thank you for them. We thank you for what they bring to us as a church and for their willingness to serve you here in Newbury. We pray that you would refresh them as they enjoy time in Dubai, keep them safe in their travelling, and give them a chance to just enjoy time with family. And then, Lord, we pray for those for whom life has been thrown into complete and utter chaos overnight as they celebrated and that attack that took place in the bars in Istanbul. Lord, there's a sense of expectation sometimes that something tragic is going to happen. The world seems to be a dark and difficult place. And so we pray that your light would shine into those difficult situations. We pray for those that are a part of churches there, that they would be able to be active and a witness for you. Father, we pray for our intelligence services, those who seek to protect us. We remember those that spent last night not partying, but working so that we can enjoy our freedom. We pray, Lord, for them, that they would have an experience of you and that you would show how we can show your love into the community that we're a part of. Lord, as we pause, we offer to you the prayers from our own hearts, the things for which we're thankful and the areas of life where we need you to be at work. Lord God, we ask that whatever 2017 holds, whatever we've planned, whatever we anticipate happening, whatever goes on that it comes as a surprise, that we would remember to put you at the heart of it, to come to your cross, to acknowledge you as our Lord and our Saviour, and to trust you for our future. And Lord, that in the weeks that come ahead, that together we would be able to stand and walk alongside each other and say, what a faithful God have I. Giving testimony to the things that you have done in our lives and those around us. Hear our prayer, Lord, we ask this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing again a great song at the start of a new year. When you're strange and somewhere new, or when you're somewhere strange and new. When you're strange, you can sing it as well. Perhaps that's just me. Lean on me. It's the safest thing to do. Maybe not this morning, but let's stand together and sing.
Oh,
Please take a seat, and Shirley's going to come and read to us from Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 2, and starting at verse 1. Thank you, Shirley.
The Magi visit the Messiah. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. For you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, that I may too go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him."
Thank you, Shirley. Let's pray before we look at that passage together. Father God, we thank you for your word, the Bible. We thank you that it still has relevance to us today. We pray that through the words that Shirley has read to us and through the words that you put in my mouth this morning, that you would speak into our hearts, that we would understand something that you want to say to us. And that, Lord, we wouldn't just sit here and listen, but that we would want to respond to you as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Christmas can be full of surprises, can't it? Sometimes they're good things. Sometimes, like that present from the distant relative, things that you're not quite so sure about. And then we've got those great traditions. The traditions that might come from your family or from a husband or a wife's family or have just come from somewhere else than you can't even remember where. They're just the things that you've always done. Well, this morning, we come to the final look at the events of the first Christmas time, or rather the events of Jesus' birth, because it probably wasn't called Christmas until about 336, so says the reliable source of the internet. And just before you get comfortable thinking that the passage that Shirley's just read from is one that you've heard many times before, and you know what's coming, then actually there are some warnings. There are lots of things that the tradition of the Christmas story has in it that just aren't in the Bible. We start with one. Three wise men. Not there. Three names that I'm not going to attempt to pronounce for three men. Also, not there. And then finally, there is no evidence, despite my singing of the carol, to suggest that they travelled by taxi, car, or a hooter blowing its scooter. Simply not there. Well, if that's just shattered your illusions and your traditions of Christmas, then thankfully you've got pretty much a whole year to forget about it and to recover. Well, if that's three things that aren't there, then let's look at some of the things that were there for people to see but missed by those in the original story and perhaps have been missed by us today. In our telling of the Christmas story, we managed to condense down pretty much the whole thing to 30 seconds if you're under three, or to a month if you're an Advent-observing adult. The events of Christmas and Jesus' birth all seem to blur into one, and before you've had chance to tidy the house, though obviously we've got a very efficient team that have managed to tidy the church, and to eat the last of the Christmas turkey, the Easter eggs are already on sale. It can be quite difficult, can't it, to work out what's happened when and how it all fits together. Well, it's probably the case that 2 years had passed since Jesus was born, and these wise men or magi or kings turn up in the reading that we had today. And it's easy to think, well, that 2 years, so what? Time kind of happened slower in the olden days, didn't it? What does it matter? Well, actually, when you add that back into the context of what's going on, I think there are a few things that I find a little bit surprising. And we're going to look at some of those this morning. In verse 2, we read that the Magi turned up at the palace to worship the new king. And the Message translation of the Bible puts verse 3 like this. When word of their, that's the wise men, inquiry got to Herod, who was king at the time, he was terrified. And not Herod alone, but most of Jerusalem as well. Herod lost no time. Now, admittedly, the shepherds didn't have Facebook Live to share the news of the angels appearing to them and telling them about the birth of Jesus. But I do find it a little bit surprising that they told absolutely nobody about it and the experience that they'd had on that first night after Jesus' birth. We find recorded in Luke's gospel. Clue one was there with the shepherds, but that first clue was missed. I wonder if you've heard this joke before, and if so, and even if not, please do find it funny. It's my best one. Standing in the park, I was wondering, why is that frisbee getting closer and closer, and as it does, getting larger and larger? And then it hit me. We continue to read in Matthew's account that Herod gathered together his clever people, those that could tell him where this so-called Messiah was supposed to be born and that he was going to be born in Bethlehem. You see, just like that man, and it obviously was a man that was stood in the park, these clever people had spent so long looking and searching for something, trying to understand something that was going to happen, that when it did actually happen, they missed it. These things, the events of Jesus' birth, had been foretold in the Old Testament books that we've got. It was there in the book of Micah, but clue two, that had also been missed. Well, the final thing that's missed isn't so much a clue, but a pondering. But since it's that good tradition to do things in three, I hope you forgive me for stretching things a little bit here. I've always found it a little bit odd that having been so troubled by the news that three strangers brought Herod, that he's then happy to send them on their way and just trust them to turn up with the news as to where this guy was that had been told about. If it was the case, as is there and Herod says, that he wanted to go and worship this new king, then wouldn't he rush and go and find him himself? Or if it's the case, as we read on later, that actually it was his intention to find him so that he could kill him because he was a bit of a threat to his own kingdom, well then, wouldn't it make sense to do that investigation yourself? Or at least send somebody along who you really trusted and who you knew was going to come back and tell you what you needed to know? Whatever the reason for wanting to see the king, Herod takes that lazy option and he misses out. Clue three is missed. I ask you to hold those three things in your mind as we just take a fleeting glance at the other thing that goes on in this passage. Carol ology, it's a difficult word to say and it might be made up, but the study of the carols teaches us about three kings. But we shouldn't base our understanding on the carols we sing, but on the Bible that we read. The only indication we've got is that there was more than one of these wise men turning up. Nobody knows if it was 3, 33, or 333. What we do know is that they brought gifts that were entirely unsuitable for a newborn baby. Some suggest that these gifts were given because, well, that was the traditional gifts that you gave to kings when they were born. Others think that these gifts, well, they've got some special significant meaning. Jesus was given gold because he was going to be a king. He was given frankincense because he would become a priest. And he was given myrrh because he was born to die. That event that we remember at Easter. Well, just like trying to work out which version of the truth you're being told by squabbling children. Apparently, don't have to deal with that myself, clearly. The reason behind the gifts. Well, it's something that we could debate and discuss for the rest of this morning and much further. But I doubt that we'd get much further on in our understanding or even learn that much more from it. What matters more is this question that's here on the screen. Both interpretations for the reason for the gifts, well, it kind of makes sense and it fits with what happens and what comes later. The events of Jesus' life are things that we know about. They're things that we've read about, things we've been taught about perhaps at a young age in Sunday school. But perhaps more importantly, we learn something of significance about the wise men and Jesus. And in some ways, the fact that Matthew recorded this event in his gospel account may actually be less about what gifts were given and more about the fact that the gifts were given and who gave them and who they were given to. So what matters more? What gifts were given or why and who it was that gave those gifts? I'll give you a chance to ponder that question yourselves as we stand and we sing another song.
Oh,
Well, having perhaps pulled to pieces your understanding of the visit of the wise men, then I want to spend a few more moments this morning thinking about what relevance does all this have for us today as we live our lives here in Newbury, or perhaps wherever home is for you, in 2017. You'll be pleased to know there are three more things to add to that list. Firstly, the unexpected messenger. God delivers messages in unexpected ways. There are some who might use the account that we had here in Matthew's Gospel to say, well, astrology, looking to the stars, trying to work out the future from them. Well, that's fine. That's what happened here in Matthew's Gospel. That's how the wise men knew that Jesus had been born. Well, I think to argue for or even against purely on that passage alone is something that would be quite dangerous to do. But what I do think we see is that God will use things that we're familiar with. He will use the things that perhaps we're placing our trust in to deliver a message to us. It's interesting to see, isn't it, though, that the wise men, despite their studying of their stars and realizing that something special has happened, that they don't get all the details right. They guess that it's a king, and they guess that a king would be born in a palace in the capital city. And so they travel first to Jerusalem. But it's only by studying the scriptures, only by going back to God's word, do they find the rightful place for Jesus' birth, there in Bethlehem. And so I'd suggest there are two things for us to consider from that as we think about this today. Firstly, we need to think about how we deliver the gospel message in the language of the people that we want to share it with, even though we might find that uncomfortable ourselves. It isn't that we change the message to make it more comfortable, but we might need to think about the language that we use, the method that we do it, so that we can reach them in a place that they're at and a way that they're going to understand it. God used the study of the stars by some pagan wise men to ensure that the birth of Jesus was heard about. What do we need to think about doing so that the good news that we proclaim is heard by those around us? And then secondly, God may speak to us through other people, through the events of our lives, and through circumstances that we face. But we should always come back and test what we believe God is saying against what's there in the Bible. Just as the star pointed the wise men towards Jesus' birth, so other things might point us towards something that God is saying to us. But there is a difference between listening to the message and seeking the voice of the messenger. As much as we may like the interpretation that we might give to something that we see or experience or somebody else gives for us, if it contradicts what's in the Bible, then there should be some alarm bells ringing. Always go back and test what it is you think God is saying against what's there recorded in the Bible. The second, it's the wise that are considered the ones that do the searching. Wise people search for God, and the wise respond to him. Wisdom, something that we perceive to have great value, isn't it? The wise are those who are respected and have a place in society. However, the way in which the world judges wisdom is different to the way in which God judges wisdom. And this passage here reminds us that the wise in God's eyes are those that seek after him. It wasn't Herod who got other people to do the searching for him who was considered wise. No, it was the wise men who, having seen the star, journeyed and searched for themselves. The Jewish people had all the information they needed to get to the right conclusion, that it was Jesus who was the Savior that had been prophesied about long ago, and yet they missed it. These pagan astrologers, well, they were the ones who sought Jesus, and having found him, then acknowledged him as king, and they are then the wise. Perhaps today you've come in the start of a new year searching for something, Christmas is over, the presents have been unwrapped, they've been returned, you've got a collection of gift cards now wondering what to do with them, the turkey's been eaten, the tree's been put away, and life's feeling a little bit hollow and a little bit, what was all that about? Perhaps you're searching for life to have its meaning, but are worried about what others are going to think of you for doing so. And the message that's here for you this morning is that it is the wise man, the wise woman, the wise child, the wise person who seeks God and having sought him, finds him and acknowledges and responds to him. It's also a good reminder that searching for God is a personal thing. Others can help, others can point you towards God, but you need to search personally yourself. It's a personal search, it's a personal decision, it's a personal worship of God. And if you've been here with us as a church over the last few months, you'll know that it's our planned 3 weeks' time, on the 22nd of January, to have a baptismal service. Baptism is an act that shows to others you have made that personal decision to follow Christ and to make him Lord of your life. No one else can make that decision for you. No one can make you become a Christian. No one else can bring your worship to God. Something that you personally need to decide to do. And if this morning you're still wondering if being baptized is something that God wants you to do, then why not talk to me or to one of the other deacons or Richard when he's back from his holiday about that? What is it that God is saying to you this morning? And then finally, God uses those who make themselves available to him. My final point I want to make this morning is to link back to something that was said to us as a church a while ago. It's probably almost 18 months, nearly 2 years ago. It was this: God will use those who are available to respond to him. And where people stand in God's way, well, God's plans will work around them, and God will still be at work. The wise men had absolutely no right to be part of the Christmas story. If Herod and the Jews and the others around him had been paying attention during that two-year gap before the wise men turned up, things would probably have looked very, very different. As it was, they missed the whole thing. And so God acts through these unlikely characters. They didn't really know what they were searching for, and yet they began a journey in faith. So they believed that something of significance had happened and that they needed to respond to it. And then having found it, him, they found Jesus, they continued to listen to the voice of God. And they didn't retrace their steps and go back to Herod. As it says in Matthew's account there, they traveled back another way. God used those who were searching, who made themselves available, and were willing to step out on a journey of discovery to ensure that his message was heard. And so as we start 2017, what about you? What about me? What about us as a gathered community of God's people here in Newbury? Are we in danger of missing the things that we could be doing, the things that are happening under our noses that God wants us to be involved with because we're studying the plans for the future so much? Are we making the same mistake and missing the obvious? Or is it that actually we're available? We see what God has placed in front of us, we hear his voice, and we make ourselves available to do his work, not sure where it's going to take us, not sure what it's going to ask of us, but prepared to take that first step and a second step and a third one as we journey together and journey with God. So as we finish this morning, let me finish with that one final question for each of us. How could you make yourself available to God through this year? We're going to stand and sing our final song this morning, As With Gladness, Men of Old.
As with gladness, men of old.
we thank you that through Jesus' birth, his death and resurrection, we can know him and we can know you as our Lord and our Saviour. Father God, I pray that through 2017, we would have a real understanding of what it is you're calling each one of us to do. That whether it's something obvious and in front of us or something for which we still need to search, that you would reveal it to us and that you would encourage us and stand alongside us as we step out in faith and journey with you. That come this time next year, many others would be here with us. Not that we can take glory ourselves, but we can join with the angels in heaven rejoicing over those that are in darkness, having come into the light and known you also. Be with us, we pray, in the rest of our day and through the week ahead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.